Our guest at the cafe this morning is Commerce General Practitioner Dr. Rick Selvaggi. Good morning. Good
morning, John.
We've been trying to get Dr. Rick on here for a long time, but today we're going to be talking about vaccinations. And I've been reading that there's for whatever reason now, there's a lot of people kind of skittish, kind of fearful about vaccinations.
I think that to some extent, you have to look at anything you put in your mouth or anything you put in your body as a potential toxin. And so it's important for people to realize what the risks are. At the same time, we need to talk about the benefit. So I would place the analogy out there that perhaps the most important scientific safety process that has helped our patients more than any other has been the vaccine process, with the exception of clean drinking water.
Wow.
So it just gives you an idea about how much disease rates were reduced, how many more people live longer beyond their childhood years when we started vaccines.
Well, I remember, Rick, and I'm old enough to, I don't know if you are also, but I remember the polio vaccine being a very big deal. Now, I was a very small child at that time, but I remember the excitement about that. And, of course, the result is that we have virtually eliminated polio, but
we have, and in my practice now, I'm mainly doing geriatrics. But in my practice, the only people with polio are essentially more than age 70. So that's about the time the vaccine came out. It's it's remarkable what it's done.
That it's been that successful.
Yes.
But as you said, now people are not entirely without reason for being somewhat concerned or fearful.
Yeah. Some vaccines are, of course, much safer than others as far as adverse reactions. And people perhaps think of the more rare and uncommon reaction, the most common reaction, allergic reaction. So allergic reactions are responsible for more of the serious problems that we see. But you do occasionally see a Guillain-Barré type syndrome associated with some of the vaccines. But overall, those rates are quite small. If you look at even the pertussis vaccine, how much that helps children and even adults in reducing the risk for pulmonary disease and brain injury as a result of those serious infections, you know, it's a ratio of probably 100 to 1 or more.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Rick Selvaggi, who's a commerce physician. Everybody in commerce knows Dr. Rick, and I bet a lot of people outside of commerce as well. I saw something that said that measles is at a 20-year high, that the rate of measles is way, way up. And I wonder if that has to do with the fact that maybe, again, people avoiding the measles vaccine.
Well, that's part of it. And we have also, it goes into that equation, better detection rates when we, a little better surveillance, in my opinion, and CDC is a little smarter about collecting the data.
We can gather information more efficiently than we used to.
I think it's better than it used to be, yes.
Yeah. Are there some, it's probably a silly question, but what are the most essential vaccinations, especially for children, you know?
Well, you can die from a lot of different disease processes. And, you know, that's why people didn't live very long in the old days, is because they died from disease. And that doesn't happen today. When somebody dies from pneumonia or influenza-related complications, it's uncommon. And so that makes the news. But it's not the way it used to be. So, you know, all those childhood vaccines and things, you know, there's a whole list of them here. We can just name a few of them.
Sure.
The mainstay, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, Haemophilus influenza, the pneumonia vaccines. We've had some others. Of course, polio vaccines is one of the oldest. We now have rotavirus. We vaccinate kids against hepatitis B early, which is a good thing. You have meningococcal and others that we could talk about, influenza. So there's a lot of diseases that we've controlled through vaccines.
Do kids all have to receive those vaccines separately? Or each one is a separate vaccination or not?
No, some of them are combined. You get up to 4 vaccines in one shot, is good for those of us who don't like needles.
Right. But I wonder sometimes if it's just the number of vaccines that kids have to take, and parents say, wow, this is just too much, you know. And not so much from the inconvenience aspect, but they just feel like, wow, this is an awful lot, you know. If that could be one reason why people avoid them for their children.
I don't know. It's my feeling that they just don't like the idea of the vaccines in general. And generally, children who don't receive vaccines don't receive any of them. Very few.
Wow, interesting. Interesting, yeah.
And so the problem for those children who aren't receiving the vaccine is if there is a virus that gets loose, such as the measles or pertussis infections, then, you know, they're more likely to develop the disease and the complications thereof.
So your last word on this is for parents is that there's some small risk, but the risk of not having the vaccine is so much greater that it's
if you look at the numbers and you're gambling, you know, you would always take the vaccine.
And we're all gambling, aren't we? We're all gambling every day, aren't we?
Yeah.
Dr. Rick, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
I like the cappuccino.
Dr. Rick Salvaggi, Commerce General Practitioner. He'll be back. And thanks for starting the day with us on Morning Edition, your station, 88.9 KETR.